Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sarah and Vinny.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny. Alice's morning show at 7.05. This Celebrity Trash brought to you by... So, when I got here 21 years ago, KRQR, which was the rocker in town for years, had just changed to Alice.
So by here you mean...
Here in San Francisco.
Right.
Right. And we had gotten... You and I came to town in 1997. So we've lost a DJ. We've lost one of our own, Vinny.
Is that right?
Yeah. This guy, iconic KFRC is where he's mostly known from. But
okay.
It's so funny because I was listening to some audio of him this morning. And he is like the DJs that I grew up with. Just like... high energy.
Right.
The DJ's DJ.
The DJ's DJ. His name is DJ John Mac Flanagan.
I never heard him.
I hadn't either. And it's funny.
I did. I grew up with him.
Yeah, I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Of course you did.
Yeah.
He was a staple here. He was on KRQR even. But he was on a bunch of different stations here.
I used to come up here all the time, though, when I was living down south. But I always listened to Live 105 and never... would have heard that guy.
KWSS in San Jose? What was that?
I was not aware of that station.
He was on K101, mm-hmm. KSFO, KYA.
KYA, I used to intern for them.
K-Big 98.1?
Yeah, that's when, remember when Darian O'Toole was working that.
Oh, is that so?
He was her partner show.
He was either her partner or he worked other day parts.
Huh.
He passed away over the weekend at the age of, I think, 72. He was raised in New Mexico, started in the summer of 1964, I believe at KFRC, spent some time in Vietnam. Mm. And then, let's see.
I heard his name for years, but I never met him.
Let's see, top 40 KFRC in the 70s. So that's the big 610.
Uh-huh.
It's
like when Dr. Don Rose's days.
Oh, funny. He's a member of the Bay Area Radio Hall of Fame and the National Radio DJ Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
He wrote a book called Tight and Bright, A Disc Jockey, Vietnam Memoir.
All right.
His daughter Kelly went on his Facebook page and posted, "We ask you to give us these next few days to make arrangements before contacting us. We'll let you know when a memorial service will be held. Thank you for respecting our privacy during this really difficult time." So rest in peace, iconic KFRC San Francisco DJ, John Mac Flanagan.
Yeah.
Oh, he's nailed the post.
That's
on that
so
one.
Awesome.
No time to talk. Music now, when they walk. I'd be like, oh, John Mac Flanagan, plays all my favorite songs. Anyway.
There was another article I read that said he was just here a couple weeks ago on a broadcast panel.
Oh.
And I think they said it was South San Francisco. So.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that he's passed.
Did you have a DJ in Boston like that you were come? Because you really liked radio. You were sort of
like
into
radio,
it.
Yeah.
Was there a DJ that you loved as a kid that you thought was so great?
Mark Parento on WBCN.
Mark Parento.
Mark Parento. He did the afternoon show there, and I would catch it almost every day. And I just thought he was so clever and funny, and I just loved him.
And you were a kid at that time.
I was a kid. Okay. And but, you know, growing up, my dad and mom, you know, everybody did. I mean, I guess you just have the radio on. So there were always all these top 40 stations, and it was more just there weren't that many standout DJs to me in particular, but the ones that did. And then when I started working for a living, that's when I found morning shows. I was like, oh, my God, I had no idea that
there's
these
a whole
things
thing
existed.
Going on.
Right.
Right.
And what about you? Who was your...
No, I didn't listen to DJs at all. The one guy, Rodney on the Rock, was someone I listened to because he used to play punk rock on K-Rock. So that didn't count. The one DJ that I listened to as a little kid all through growing up was Rick Dees, mm-hmm. and I only listened to him because I had to. I was in the car with my mom driving to school. And so I
she would be laughing away with
well,
him.
Well, yeah, and he was, you know, in L.A., he was the big deal for 20, sure. probably longer, right. probably 40 years. So I knew of that guy, but I didn't listen like, oh, my God.
Who was your guy growing up, Uzi? Did you have someone? You're a longtime radio person.
Dr. Don Rose, mm-hmm. KFRC. We used to listen to him a lot. And The Lobster on The Rocker.
I've heard that name a bunch.
Paul Wells is his real name. He's still doing some stuff around the Bay Area.
A Lobster. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think he works. He does a lot of internet stuff, a lot of blogging. And I think he works for one of the stations out in the North Bay, The Vine or whatever, one of the smaller ones are called.
Yeah. That's great.
Oh, well, anyway, I'm sorry to hear that John McFlynn, I guess. I was listening to the audio of him this morning and just like, oh, that is.
It's cool.
That's old timey stuff. All right, we're going to drive you home now. Coming out of your dashboard. It's a hot day in the city.
510 says, oh, I remember listening to John McFlanagan as a kid.
It is neat when you hear the old stations that you, like that I think I remember more. There was KZY was a station that was down in L.A. and then it went away. It's gone now.
Yeah.
KNAC was a heavy metal station down in L.A. Did you have that when you were there? KNAC?
I don't know if that was still on or not. Where did I work at? KLOS. And I didn't know. I would listen to K-Rock. I don't know if KNAC was still on.
They played metal.
Right.
And they were a little signal, so you could hardly get it, but you wanted to get it so bad because you wanted to listen to metal. I mean, who played that?
Only KNAC.
Right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's fun.
It is fun. Well, we're radio people, so we wanted
geek
to take,
out on
we
that.
Wanted to take a second here.
Right.
Okay, so Ed Sheeran wrote a song. And he wrote it for Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. There's a song called The Rest of Our Lives. Or, sorry, The Rest of Our Life. And I guess it was a huge hit for them last year. So Ed Sheeran had written it. And now there are a couple guys who think that he jacked their melody. They have a song called When I Found You that they wrote for Jasmine Ray. Do I know that name? Jasmine Ray?
I never heard that name.
So I'm not sure if that was a hit or not, but anyway, they say this dude obviously heard our song and stole it. So we're going to hear, which one do you want to play first?
Up to you. You call it.
Let's play the Ed Sheeran song.
All right. This is Tim McGraw and Faith Hill.
Okay. Let's see if it sounds like an Ed Sheeran song.
Oh, one more time. Let me do that again, okay?
Why, is that the other one?
No, I actually made a mashup, but then that was kind of it. You couldn't really tell, so it's good.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
That's enough for you to
broke
hear.
My leg.
I broke my leg. Sounds very Ed Sheeran-y, right?
Yeah, it does sound very Ed Sheeran-y.
So here's Jasmine Ray's.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty damn similar. Let's hear her. I think it's pretty. Play me the mashup you made.
Well, I was just putting it together. I didn't really finish it. No. So I don't really know if it's in sync. Let me just
I'm sure it will be. You're amazing. So
you're saying the notes are the same?
It's pretty similar. Even where she starts and how the melody is phrased.
Yeah, see, that's the part. It's not. The notes sound the same. Mm. I don't know if the melody is the same. That's pretty bland. Like, I don't feel like there's any melody there, really. What about the choruses? Are the choruses?
I don't know. I haven't heard the choruses.
Where that comes in?
Are those similar, the choruses? Or just is it just the...
No, it's just the underlining.
I mean, the
melody.
Piano part is really similar.
Yeah, that... Sure. So what do they want?
They want money.
Oh.
You know, they basically said, you stole our song, and I'm sure they want it to go to court so that they can get some kind of settlement. Monday, Ed said, no, there's no similarity in the sound of the songs. It's Ed, there is.
Well, he's a songwriter. Maybe he's, you know, fighting for his life here.
He says his song is an originally and independently created musical composition. There are only so many notes. And that actually does sound super Ed Sheeran-y. You know, just listening to that little bit, it's like, oh, yeah, that's sort of his signature sound. He says their claim is baseless. He wants the judge to back him up by tossing the whole lawsuit. The judge has not decided. But you can judge for yourself. I think they sound pretty damn similar.
Maybe this is the, there's a finger in my chili.
Maybe.
You put that finger there. Maybe they came up with their melody after.
Well, I think his song is newer than theirs.
Oh.
Theirs was 2014.
Here's a mashup I made. Okay. I had to kind of line them up because they're different rhythms as far as BPMs.
Hey.
They're the exact same chords.
Yeah.
Same key and everything.
Keep going. I want to hear them sing.
And then it starts to kind of get out of sync here.
Yeah, that's the... I don't know.
Good luck, Judge, with that one.
Are the choruses really different?
And what's her name? Jasmine Ray has a bridge she jumps to that's completely different.
Oh, so that's totally different.
Yeah, so I hadn't got...
All right, yeah. So that's going to be up to the judge. I guess we'll find out if there's a settlement or not. So chickens can be really friendly. Like if you raise them from a chick, like, and they're, you know, you're not just on a giant egg farm or something. Chickens are, they'll hang with, yes.
You mean?
Your hand is up. Like a chicken.
Chickens.
Mm-hmm. Chickens, egg-laying chickens, hens, chickens that you would have in a barnyard.
Can
and
be
people
really
have,
friendly.
They can. My they brother can. Has chickens and you could hold them and pet them and they love to
they
be
actually
cuddled.
Want their heads scratched mm-hmm. and yeah, they're actually really friendly. Birds,
right?
Well, there's a story here. It's not just about chickens. It's about a particular chicken. Her name's Regina George.
I love the name.
Because I still eat chicken, and I don't like knowing they're so friendly.
Yeah, they're pretty friendly.
You're not helping me out here.
Not all of them, Vinny.
Yeah, no, there's some nasty-ass chickens
It'd be
out
a
there.
Lot better to think they're
yeah,
jerks.
Heck you. Well, most of them are. I mean, okay. You're not going to eat this one. It
all
is
right.
dead, though. But you can't eat
no.
it. Jennifer Garner. The beautiful Jennifer Garner. But they're divorced, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Or they're at least on their way. She apparently has like a little mini farmyard at her house. She's got some chickens and one of her chickens is a pet. Like she would walk it on a leash. Like she actually put in the chicken died. Her name was Regina George, which was
did it choke on the leash?
It did not choke on the leash.
Regina George is from Mean Girls.
It's true.
She was the blonde chick.
It's Rachel McAdams' character.
Oh.
It's funny. She even calls she says, my chicken is a mean girl. She is yesterday, I guess this was Monday. She shared a video on Instagram and told her followers that Regina, who she always walked on a leash, had died of natural causes. She said, please enjoy this tribute to chicken Regina George, who passed away from natural causes. Hashtag, she was our favorite. R.I.P. Hashtag, she lived a good life.
Oh, I bet
are
she
are they going to eat her?
No. Well, I doubt it. I mean, you don't eat your pet chicken, do you?
Well...
I don't know.
Regina might want you to.
I don't know what you do. I've never had a pet chicken. I thought chickens were jerks.
No, they're actually, they can be super. Yeah.
You're bumming
friends.
Me out right now.
And you know it's
time.
Organic. You know what you fed it, right?
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, the chicken would want you to
you
have.
Eat it. No, he wouldn't.
The nutrition.
He'd be like, no, just bury
of
me.
Of my body.
Oh, is that the chicken?
So here's the there she is walking the chicken on a leash. Come on, chicken. Come on, chicken.
Like reading or something.
And there she is sitting on she's sharing a bench with it. And so she has a bunch of chickens, obviously. And she looks so happy to be around her chickens. And there she is reading with the chicken just crouched down next to her, pecking at the ground. Chicken's like, hey, are there any bugs down there? Oh, and now the gravestone.
Oh, so they just bury her.
They just bury it. Oh, poor
it's
little
tough.
Regina George.
We do love our pets.
We do. So anyway, if you want to check that out, I don't know if you follow her on Instagram. But
I don't.
If there's anybody else out there that wants to check it out. I saw this morning, and I love Ben Folds, and I love Cake, and they are doing a co-headlining summer tour. Unfortunately, it's like 10 dates, and they're all not here.
Dude, road trip. What's wrong with you?
That's what I'm thinking. They're all in August, though. I have so much crap happening in August. My brother's 50th birthday. He's having this huge party, and then he's moving here.
What's that called? Weasel Fest?
It's Dunderfest.
Dunderfest.
Yeah. So it starts August 13th in Boston and wraps up August 25th in Indianapolis. So I'm going to have to. I was looking at the Milwaukee date. I've never been to Milwaukee.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I know. It would be kind of fun. My kids freaking love both bands too. So
they do?
Oh my God. My younger son is such a huge Ben Folds fan. He plays all the songs on the piano and.
Wow.
I know. He just loves them. And
what's
and
their
Cake,
big hit?
Well, their big hit was probably like Brick, maybe. That's a really slow one. But he's got a bunch of solo stuff.
I like The Luckiest. I think that's his best song.
Oh, I like Erase Me. That's my favorite.
Ben Folds has three hits then?
No, at least.
He has a few hits, but they're...
Play The Luckiest.
This is Brick. This is one everyone's going to know.
Oh, I don't know this one. All
right. You do know this. This
was
a
huge...
What,
Lucky, you said?
Yeah, Luckiest.
Luckiest, all right.
Sad, slow, slow, sad.
Were these Alice songs?
This one was.
This was?
Yep, sure was. Don't say it like that.
Oh, I do know this song.
I do not know any of these.
This is rockin' songs that are great, though. Like, I think it's called Song for the Dump. That's the one. Give me my money back.
Oh,
give
that's
me my
hit.
Money back, you
the,
bitch.
Yeah, that's the hit. What is that called?
Song for the Dumped.
Oh, is it?
This one's... I don't love the soft ones. I like his rockin' piano songs.
Yeah, the one you just said, I recognize. That sounds like the hit.
And then, that one is great. Go, yeah, play Song for the
You should go see him in Tennessee, by the way. In Nashville.
Forget. Give me back my black T-shirt.
Is this it?
It is.
Yeah. Boy, I don't even know these guys.
So Ben Folds and Cake are doing a co-headlining summer tour that you're going to have to go on a road trip if you want to see.
Fighting It, The Luckiest, Brick, Rockin' the Suburbs.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
You Don't Know Me. Yeah, I don't know this guy.
I know these because these rock at my house all the time.
Huh. Right? Well, I do know Cake, though, for sure.
Yeah, oh my God. Cake is just amazing.
And who has a trumpet player?
Cake.
I know.
No doubt, I guess. I'm super. Maybe they'll extend the tour. That'd be so great.
Yeah, maybe if sales do well.
Yeah.
They will.
Because I'm telling you, I went, oh my God, when I saw it this morning. And then I looked at the dates and went, oh no.
And the cities. Because it's so far. There's none in California.
Right. It's forever away.
Well, and Cake was a Sacramento band, right?
Mm-hmm. We also talked about this briefly this morning. Stone Temple Pilots, Bush, and Cult are going to do a revolving headline tour. It's actually called Revolution 3 Tour. They are going to take turns headlining. It's 6 weeks this summer. I don't see a list of dates. My guess is that one will probably hit California, but that
what
would be...
What is it again?
The Stone Temple Pilots, Bush, and the Cult. So that's a snapshot in time right there. And then quickly, I wanted to do, because I got Scott coming up at 8, so I want to squeeze this one in because I didn't get to it yesterday. Stan Lee,
the old Marvel guy.
Yes, the Marvel guy, right. I guess some business friend of his went to Stan's personal nurse back in October with a forged document giving him authority to order a blood sample from Stan Lee. He told the nurse to fill these vials, and she obliged. She took so much blood from Stan that he became dizzy. No one in his camp, other than this nurse, I guess, knew that these samples had been taken from him, but his friend and partner, Kia Morgan, discovered that this former business associate has commissioned pens with Stan Lee's blood ink in them.
Oh, my goodness.
And he plans to sell these pens. Like, you can sign your name in blood, Stan Lee's blood.
Whoa.
So, and they say he's, you know, going to sell them for a fortune. They want it stopped, obviously. So they've hired an attorney to get to the bottom of the alleged blood stealing.
Stan's in his 90s, right?
Stan is very old.
95.
Yeah. Stan believes that this former business associate also took about $300,000 from him and bought an $850,000 condo with Stan's money. So there's a long list of things that they are mad at this guy about, not the least of which is stealing his blood to make blood pens.
Did Stan actually come up with all of these characters that we're currently experiencing in movie form?
It's a controversy.
Oh.
So it is Stan, but he had a partner, and I can't remember the partner's name. And what ultimately ended up happening was Stan, for some reason, gets all the credit, all the accolades, all the appearances in all the films, and this partner of his disappears.
Only gets his blood.
Well, the partner doesn't. He's just like
Nobody even knows his name.
No, they know his name.
Jack Kirby.
Yeah, oh. It must be that. Yeah, and this guy just doesn't, you know, get the recognition.
Well, I wouldn't have been surprised if it was 20 interns that came up with them all. There's way too much creativity and character output from that guy's life to be just him. I mean, people do work for designers or
absolutely,
all kind of different ways that you would.
And then they put their name on your thing.
Be designing or working under someone else's. I mean, think of the people at Pixar who came up with a character, but they're not.
No. They don't get credit for that. That's a Pixar character.
Right.
Well, it's like anything. When you work for a company, what you do and what you create and what you invent while working there is theirs.
My point was going to be, if he did come up with all that, talk about creative output. Mm. Man.
I know. Well, and at 95, and he's in all the movies, too. He's always a little
he
mini
is.
Cameo.
And Jack Kirby can't defend himself because he died in 1994.
Oh, that is too bad.
There's a good article I just found that shows the rift between the two. I'll put it on the ceremony.
But think about even just the Black Panther movie. All those worlds he creates that go with that character are pretty.
Wakanda Forever.
What the?
God, I love that movie. All right, Vinny, what's coming up in the news?
We're going to talk with Scott Budman, our friend from NBC Bay Area. We have a couple online controversies that he may be able to help us sort of take apart and give us info we need after these. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Alice at 97.3, Sir and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Couple things I wanted to mention real fast. 10 o'clock this morning, the Outside Lands lineup announcement is coming down. Mm-hmm. So we'll be here to do that announcement for you at 10 o'clock this morning. Also, Warriors trivia. We're doing it all week. We have a massive prize pack you can get qualified for. That's less than half an hour from now. And Guide Dogs from the Blind, right up the road in San Rafael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just graduated a dog named Alice.
Yay,
named
Alice.
For us.
All right.
A little puppy. Not a puppy anymore. You know, it takes a couple years to train these dogs up. Graduated last Saturday, a yellow lab, born in July 2016, raised in Fremont, and was partnered with a woman named Lindsay from down in Anaheim. And here's some pictures. That dog is so cute. Looks like such a proud pup.
Oh, yeah. I love labs.
And there's the girl that he's going to be a guide for, Lindsay.
Whenever I go to see our friend Alan at Bananas at Large, I always see the guide dogs walking around
practicing
the street.
It, yeah.
They practice so all
sweet.
Around there.
Yeah.
It's really neat.
It is. They're right over. You see them at the Northgate Mall all the time because they're right across the street from that, basically.
I must follow them on Instagram, but they're all over the place.
Alice is good looking.
Yeah. She is a good looking dog. Like, so pretty. Like, just their. She looks so perky and
Alice.
Ready to guide.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so in just a second, we've got Scott Budman.
The Radio Alice Report.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is here's what's happening. Let me mention a couple things before we pull up Scott on the phone. So we've got a storm on the way for Thursday night through the weekend.
Uh-huh.
And it's another one of those Pineapple Express doozies.
Lots of water.
Going to get a lot of rain. Also, Villanova won the college basketball national championship, beating Michigan last night.
Villanova.
Also, the Giants have a home opener today here in town at 1:30 versus Seattle.
Adjust your travel plans accordingly.
By the way, was that your cousin that was here last week?
Uh-huh. JJ?
I've seen the people in all geared up, but I've never been that close to one. He had everything.
He basically had the uniform on.
Yeah, he had the lid, the shirt. The shorts, the socks, the whole thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we never did hear, though. How did your adventures out into town go? Did you guys have
fun? Yeah, we went after we left work here. We went to my house, back to my house, and dropped off my car.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
And then we came back to the city. We went prowling around in Haight Street. We went to three head shops looking for something. And then he...
What were you looking for?
He was looking for a roach clip.
He had to go to three different stores to find it?
And he didn't find it. He was looking for specifically, and this is so like dating us, he was looking for a roach clip with feathers on it.
Oh,
right. Well,
that's exactly what I pictured. That's the old school.
That's a roach clip.
I can't believe those aren't hanging in every window.
They didn't have them?
No, they didn't have what he wanted. So we left Tate Street.
No sense.
Well, I mean, whatever. I mean, people are still smoking joints.
Yeah.
Instead of vaping or whatever.
But why aren't the feather things available?
I don't know. So we left there and then we went to their hotel at the Fairmont, got their room, got them all situated. And then we took a taxi back down here to Pier 23, the restaurant.
Yeah. Boy, made a whole day of it, didn't you?
I know, right. You know who is executive chef over there now is Joey Altman.
No way.
Remember? Our friend 23? Joey.
Yeah, I've been seeing him on
Facebook. We got to go over there. Oh, well, let's go there for our lunch with
okay,
Greg.
But I want to make sure Joey's working we go.
He left town treatment. And was in Chicago or something for a while.
Running a restaurant?
Yeah.
He's back.
Yeah,
good
so
for
he's
him.
Back there. So anyway, that was it. I left them. I took a Uber home. And they went trolling around at the wharf and made their way back to the hotel.
Good for them.
Yeah, they had a really good time. They loved being in here.
Cool.
They loved you guys.
They were sweet.
And I have a text about your family, but I'm going to do that at the end of this break.
Uh-oh.
Not them in particular. But anyway, let's talk to Scott Buttman now. He's on the phone, and we don't want to waste his time. He's a very busy reporter for NBC Bay Area. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Scott.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on.
So listen, we have a couple things to talk to you about. I don't know how much you know about the Facebook situation and if they've seen a big drop in people using Facebook due to the fact that it now looks like they've been selling information about data on the people who are using Facebook. But now we get a story also in the news about Grindr revealing its users' HIV status to third-party companies. And before you get started, this is one of those things that has been happening as technology has moved along. I know, for example, I see those things that say, read all this and hit agree. And I, of course, scramble right to the bottom and hit agree because I think that what could I possibly have that anybody wants?
Right.
And now we're starting to see we do have stuff that is useful and worth money to these companies.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what we learned going back with Facebook is that even the things that we think are pretty innocuous about us and our families were actually used by outside parties without our permission to put together political profiles. Did that change the election? Who knows? But again, in a world where we're asked to give permission and opt into things or opt out of things, it turns out our data is being used anyway. And that was the big Facebook controversy that's still going on. And
absolutely.
And we don't know exactly how many people might be leaving. But anecdotally, and I've been covering this now for about 3 weeks daily, I don't think a lot of people are leaving, but fortunately people are starting to get smart and change their privacy statuses and maybe even give a little less personal information. And it's probably time for us to start thinking about what we're putting on these apps.
And he put it out there. I was trying to find I have too many things on my desk. I'm really organized, but I couldn't find this one thing I needed right now. But I guess he was saying it's probably going to take a year at least for them to clean up some of the fallout from this data having been accessed.
Right. That's what Mark Zuckerberg said over the weekend. And he admitted he even used, I think, the phrase a few years. And I think what that means is not only getting in and doing the technology and changing who's got access to this stuff, but the trust that he has to rebuild up. You know a lot of young people, and they're not even on Facebook. And now to have all this data on Facebook open to people who we don't even know and doing things that are, you know, especially with the 2016 election, kind of hot buttons when it comes to politics, people are wary of using Facebook. You look at its stock price, it's down by something like $100 billion in value since this thing started 3 weeks ago. That's because investors are worried people are going to spend less time on Facebook, give less personal information on Facebook, and therefore you and I would be less valuable to those advertisers, which is a very legitimate concern.
Sure.
So that's bad enough, but now we're seeing Grindr has revealed, and this is according to BuzzFeed news report that I'm seeing, Grindr furnished two companies, Aptimize and Localtix. I don't know how, Localtix?
Localtix. Yeah.
That's it.
Localtix.
With data on users' HIV status and the last date they were tested for the virus. So this news comes out now, and that's by far the worst thing I've heard these companies using our data for.
Yeah, the timing is terrible, too, because of all this concern with Facebook and apps in general. And Grindr, if you don't know it, it's a hookup app. The shorthand, I guess, is to say it's Tinder for the LGBTQ community. And so you have a lot of people, 3 million people, who use it every day, according to Grindr. And one of the things you can opt in to put on is your HIV status. And, you know, people will say, well, it's something that's important. It's about me. It's one of the details that I would share with people I meet. I get that. But now we find out, and Grindr has said it's going to stop doing this, but it allowed your HIV status, not to mention where you are, your phone ID, your email, to these companies to sort of optimize how Grindr works. You know, they insist that it's anonymous. But again, if you're sharing something that intimate and that personal, you've got to know that apps are sharing your data. This stuff doesn't come for free, and it is scary. And it's again, a very intimate piece of data that I think a lot of people are saying, well, this is out there, and that's got to scare you into, I think, changing how you use these social networks.
Other than people changing the way they use them, are there going to be consequences for, I mean, to me, that's almost criminal to reveal personal information. I guess maybe it comes down to that agreement that we scroll past and click agree to.
Right, and that's the big thing. Grindr can stand behind that, oh, you opted in to share HIV status. But, and this is coming back to bite Facebook and why Mark Zuckerberg is likely going to have to Congress, go to, you know, Senate and, you know, testify, is because although we said Facebook can do this and share it with certain advertisers, we didn't really opt into the whole Cambridge Analytica thing. That's the company that used it for political data. Right. So it's taking it several steps away from what we agreed to, and that may be illegal. It's such a new world, and you know, the government is always so far behind technology. But, yeah, if somebody is sharing something that intimate, yes, we need to you know, worry about the law, but we just need to take this responsibility, I think, ourselves and say we're not going to share this stuff other than how we used to share it with our partners and our loved ones and our family.
Right.
But social networks, I think their reach, and God bless them, their reach is just way, way too big.
Well, Feinstein just this morning was saying, if you guys don't clean this up, the government's going to get involved and do it for you. And that is the last thing these companies want is
right,
the government right, looking into their business practices.
Right. And if that's not an incentive enough to do better by us, the users, you know, then you're right. That is the big incentive. And hopefully they will. But we need to see them come out and say, you know, if you share your data, it stops here. And that's the most simple thing. And it's not that they do a very good job. You know, I've been on Facebook for a long time. The same with Google and YouTube, and I do try to keep my personal information private, but I get ads all the time, and the biggest one I get is for a dating site, oddly enough, called Christian Mingle, and they're missing me on a couple of points there.
And yet,
for whatever reason, I get them all the time.
Maybe you should try it out, Scott. I don't know.
Maybe they know something I don't.
Right.
But just the idea that somebody is grinding, to use a term, all this data and putting it out there and saying, hey, this is a dating site for you. As wrong as they are, it's interesting to see these things at work.
Yeah.
And again, I would just never put anything personal or intimate on these sites because you don't know where they're going to end up. And that's where
in the name of research, as the Bay Area's premier tech reporter, are you on Tinder, Grindr, any of these to just see how they work?
I'm not. In the name of research, I do talk to a lot of people who use them, and they work well. And there are a lot of people who will say, hey, I don't mind that my GPS is out there because people can find me. And isn't that the whole point of a Tinder or a Grindr, is to make these, you know, meetings, these hookups,
right,
you know, easy and convenient. And I get that. And they seem to work very well. And one of the, a friend of mine, a young woman, met her now husband on Tinder.
Aww,
so these things can, you know, can turn out great. Yeah. And, and I totally get dating apps. I think they're wonderful. Social networks are wonderful. You know, they work well up to a point, but, I think we just have to think about if we're freaked out by the idea of something as intimate and personal as HIV status getting out there to strangers, then we need to start thinking about what we put on, even for our, you know, our families and loved ones.
So don't opt in.
Exactly.
Right. All right, Scott, thank you so much for being on with us today. Scott Budman, NBC Bay Area, everyone.
Thank you,
Scott.
Guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Take it easy.
Bye.
I follow him on Instagram.
Yeah.
He likes to drum.
Oh, he's a drummer? Oh.
So, you didn't know that?
No, I don't follow
him. I didn't know that either, and I follow him.
You never seen that?
I don't think so. Maybe I have, and I just scrolled past it.
Uzi, I'm going to do a text real quick before we break, because Scott's coming up and more. Our text number is 800-400-3697. Uzi, when I was on the Radio Hall of Fame website voting for Sarah and Vinny, I explored the site a bit and found a clip of Tony Salazar, assuming your dad. Pretty cool.
Oh.
Is that right?
Can you see if you can find that, Brittany?
It could be. I mean,
he was a longtime Bay Area broadcaster.
It could be someone else, though. It's a kind of a common name. But my dad was mostly
L.A.
radio, and then we came up here, and he did some radio, and then he went over to Coffee, which at the time was Spanish radio. And then kind of after that, he was actually responsible for bringing the Giants onto Spanish radio.
Oh.
Like, that was his deal. That was his big deal. But then he went to broadcast sales.
Oh.
So I'm not sure what this would be, if anything. We should remind people to vote for Sarah and Vinny.
Oh, we should remind them. I have that.
Do you still
somewhere.
Have that sheet?
Yeah. We're really bad at reminding people.
I know.
We're not
politicking
very well.
Put it down every day to remind.
I don't have
it. Was he on Cruisin' on a Sunday afternoon?
Is that an LA station?
It's a KUFY. Let's see.
Let's hear Tony.
The voice of San Mateo? Oh, no, that's not it. Mm. Okay. I have something going right now, but I'm not sure. Let me check on it.
Yeah, we'll check during the break.
Was he a Mexican broadcaster?
I am Mexican.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as far
as
like...
Was it in Spanish?
I think it's in Spanish.
Yeah, that might be it.
So, because this is what's playing right now. It's a very long clip, though, so maybe I should isolate
it. You want to go back later?
Sure.
I would love to hear Tony.
Me too.
Would you love it?
Of course.
Oh, you would. Okay.
When I was a little kid, I used to listen. When we were in LA, I used to listen to my dad on the radio. He'd be playing oldies but goodies.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so. Fun.
That's not him.
This is yeah. It's very old.
Yeah.
Not
That's
him.
That's not him though.
Huh.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I thought he had
deep.
A very deep voice.
Anyway, all right, so we got a break.
Wait, say, Vinny, BayAreaRadio.org.
BayAreaRadio.org. Please vote for us for favorite music-based entertainment program. Or
please.
I don't know where we are. Just find us and vote for us. Thank you. We're doing a great job campaigning for this.
Sarah and Vinny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.